Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm MBR's Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed-thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday. At this time, don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, a federal judge rules that the legislative and executive branches cannot defund the very same Planned Parenthood, which, by the way, only they can fund. So is she high or extremely high? Also, the one big beautiful bill cut taxes permanently versus subjecting them to a sunset provision, as per so many of the predecessors. So you got to wonder, how much more does this perhaps help the economy? Also, we've got the Jew-hating socialist, New York City Democrat mayoral candidate Zoran Mamdani. He's been apparently exposed for falsely claiming to be both black and Asian when applying to Columbia University. Can voters trust this crap stain to be tolerant and truthful while the guy embodies the antithesis of each? Come on. Also, Democrats and legacy media fabricated that Trump's National Weather Service staff cuts apparently impaired rescue efforts at the Kerrville, Texas flooding, despite even the Associated Press reporting that they had additional personnel in anticipation of the disaster. So you got to wonder, how stingingly should their collective backside be spanked? And finally, do Democrat calls for violence against ICE undercut their moral authority to oppose violence potentially called against them? And will cooler heads ever prevail? This is just an astonishing time for us to be alive, is it not? Now, about this federal judge, this U.S. District Judge Indira Talwani, by the way, an Obama appointee, issues this temporary restraining order blocking Congress's and the executive's big, beautiful bill defunding of Planned Parenthood. Now, I'm curious, how does this judge have the functional authority to usurp the non-judicially reviewable separated powers of the legislative and executive's right to defund that which only they, when you think about it, have the right to both fund and not fund? See, this judge is essentially saying, oh, it's okay for you to fund this organization, but you're not allowed to use those very same powers to defund. Because I don't like it. And I want to attach to it all these other secondary and tertiary measures because I'm too intellectually bereft to satisfy the primary one. This is the problem with the woke. What they do is they undermine the primary moral measure of our right to choose our own individual paths as per the separated powers afforded to our representatives that we elect. And they do it by using these secondary and tertiary measures to essentially undercut the primary one. They use these secondary measures of allegedly higher morals to undercut the primary moral measure of our right to choose our own paths as per our wishes, as manifested through our representatives, in accordance with our founding document, the separated powers. Folks, the only reason why we have checks and balances and reciprocal checks and balances is because each branch has certain absolute powers beyond the reach of the other two. That's how they leverage the protection of their own respective ones. And just as the judiciary has its checks and balances to protect its own separated powers, so do the executive and Congress. Now, the president right now can just say, bite my ass, I'm not listening to you because your bosses at the Supreme Court have said the direct opposite. I get to choose which of these two rulings I should follow, and maybe, just maybe, I should follow the ruling by your bosses. Just astonishing what these individual reptilian judges think they get to do on their own. Then, of course, we've got this Jew-hating socialist New York Democrat mayoral candidate, Zohran Mamdani, thinking this guy, he's just astonishing what he's trying to pull. I mean, this self-proclaimed socialist has been exposed as both anti-Semitic and also as a liar about his own ethnicity. He's Indian American. But apparently, when he was trying to get into Colombia, he said, well, I'm actually black. Oh, no, I'm also Asian. He ticked both boxes. Now, people would say, well, let's excuse him, youthful indiscretion, blah, 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 blah. But the thing is that the guy defends what he did as the right thing to do. He doesn't look back and say, well, you know, I should have thought better. I was wrong. I was silly. No! He is, as a current adult, trying to excuse his actions as a kid. Now, if in fact he just said, you know, executed some capacity for self-appraisal and said, man, I was a schmuck, I shouldn't have done that. How insulting that was to both blacks and Asians to go ahead and tick boxes to which I don't ethnically belong as a way of somehow taking advantage to what at the time happened to be advantages afforded. Oh, no, no. I did it because, well, they didn't have a box for my ethnicity. Are you kidding me? Then create, write one of your own that says other, all right, and then put what you are. Don't contend that you're an African-American when you are not. Don't contend you're an Asian-American when you are not. And then when questioned about it today, have the unmitigated gall, audacity, and lack of fortitude to insist that what you did was perfectly reasonable. Schmuck. What idiots these folks are. I mean, are people really going to support this guy? Also, again, I want to talk about Democrats. You know, and I'm wondering if their calls for violence against ICE perhaps undercuts their moral authority to oppose violence potentially called against them. I mean, you know, we want cooler heads to prevail, but is it fair to say they're going to have no moral authority? Anyway, without further ado, I understand our guest has now joined us, and happy to introduce Leslie Corbley, author, poet, columnist, also an attorney. She was previously a visiting fellow with the American Institute for Economic Research and as a policy analyst at the Libertas Institute. Her latest book is the highly praised work entitled Progressive Prejudice, Exposing the Devouring Mother. I love it. She's here to chat with us about this Obama judge trying to stop the congressional budget. Leslie, great to have you back. How are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. So we've got this federal judge taking it upon herself to usurp the separated powers of an entire another branch. And it's a real head-scratcher when you think about it. I mean, again, we got this Judge Indira Talwani, once more an Obama appointee, passing this temporary restraining order, blocking Congress's and really the executive's big, beautiful bill defunding of Planned Parenthood. So I'm asking you, how the hell does this judge have the functional authority to usurp the non-judicially reviewable separated powers of the legislative and executive's right to defund that which Only they have the right to both fund and not fund. This is what's so strange. I mean, she recognizes Congress's right to fund the plays, but what? Those same powers can't be used to go in the other direction? What the hell am I missing here?
I don't think you're missing anything. I find that one particularly confusing because, again, there's no real separation of powers issue with Congress and the president, you know, Congress passing a law and the president signing it, particularly in relation to funding, which is one of the, you know, most obvious authorities that Congress possesses. So I think it's a Hail Mary, probably, I guess, an attempt by Planned Parenthood to retain funding because there are a whole world of trouble.
I appreciate the Hail Mary. I just don't see why a judge went along with it. Leslie, if you can, kiddo, hang on the line for just a moment. Leslie, if you can, hang on the line for just a moment. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
It's no surprise that people love their pets. In fact, 97% of pet owners consider them part of the family. Amazon's Jen Ray has more.
Amazon Pet Day makes caring for your pets easier than ever. The 48-hour sales event features thousands of deals with the convenience of Amazon's fast delivery. Whether you're welcoming a new puppy, upgrading essentials for a senior pet, or looking for products that pamper, there's something for everyone.
Nearly two-thirds of U.S. households have a pet. That's 86.9 million homes.
With so many households having pets, Amazon has something for every pet owner and their furry friends, from trusted basics to exciting new favorites across price points. Plus, Amazon is expanding its pet care offerings, now providing prescription pet medications on Amazon.com through VetSource, a leading pet pharmacy.
On May 13th and 14th, Amazon Pet Day will offer incredible deals, including on our most popular and pet-approved brands, like Purina Pro Plan, Iams, PetSafe, O. Norman, Ring, and more. Learn more at Amazon.com/Pet Day. As the school year winds down, many high school students are thinking ahead to what comes next. For some, that means staying academically engaged over the summer and preparing for the transition to college. Shauna Thayer, CEO of the online education platform Sophia Learning, has more.
Sophia Learning offers college-level courses that students can take at their own pace and are designed to transfer for credit. This summer, we're giving eligible rising high school juniors and seniors free access to 6 college-level courses. It's a great way for students to get a head start, see what college classes are really like, or try something new without the pressure.
A new survey finds that 72% of high school juniors and seniors who plan to attend college in the next 2 years feel they need to go to college to be successful, but 51% want more time to decide on a major.
Preparing for college is exciting, but can come with uncertainty. This program gives students a chance to learn at their own pace, gain confidence, and make informed choices about their future.
Learn more at sophia.org. That's Sophia with a PH.org.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
ICE agents, Border Patrol agents, cops are now getting shot at. How is this happening?
It's happening because, Jesse, there is an insurrectionist movement in the Democratic Party that is inspiring domestic terrorism against ICE. When you have the mayor of Los Angeles mobilizing agitators, mobilizing the mob against ICE, saying that federal law enforcement has to leave her city. This is a settled constitutional question. Federal law is the supreme law of the land. You cannot nullify it. You cannot secede from it. It is the law of the United States of America. So these insurrectionist Democrats are every day engaging in rhetoric that is incentivizing, that is encouraging, that is fomenting violent terrorist attacks against ICE and ICE officers. Not only in the shootings that you've seen recently, but ICE officers are being doxxed. Their families and children are being threatened. Their addresses are being posted online. They are being subjected to a campaign of terror by these radical Democrats.
And it's really happening. It's really happening. Now, listen, I'm returning to the issue of the judge unilaterally ruling in favor of Planned Parenthood and telling Congress that they don't get to defund the very organization that they're apparently constitutionally allowed to fund. And how counterintuitive is that? But I do want to touch on this a little bit before I get to my illustrious guest. We were listening to an exchange on Fox News' Jesse Waters Primetime. He's saying that, ICE and Border Patrol agents are apparently getting shot. And he asks how this is happening. Stephen Miller, Homeland Security Advisor, one of the top advisors to Donald Trump as well. He describes the radical Democrats as the ones behind this, as insurrectionists, if you will, citing in particular how the mayor of Los Angeles tried to force federal enforcement out of her city. And he says that while Democrats like her are engaging in rhetoric, encouraging attacks on ICE, supporters are attacking and leaking personal information for ICE agents, or about them, I should say. And at one point or another, you know, we get to call things out for what they are. You got Mayor Karen Bass. But even some people at Fox News reporting seem to get sucked into the wrong nomenclature. For instance, this is how they wrote on the issue. Mayor Karen Bass, who has been a vocal opponent of immigration raids in the city, appeared at the scene and demanded to speak with ICE leadership. Okay? Now, let's just look at the beginning of that sentence. Mayor Karen Bass, who has been a vocal opponent of immigration raids in the city. Now, look, folks, they are not, quote-unquote, immigration raids, okay? They are not immigration raids. They are illegal immigrant raids, okay? Illegal immigrant raids. You see, immigrants are not being pursued. Why? Because they are legal. Legal. Unless language is no longer tethered to the meanings of the words that comprise it, they are legal. Now, I got to tell you, this is the kind of functional illiteracy I expect from legacy media outlets like the Washington Post or the New York Times or the Boston Globes, but not from Fox News. Come on, guys. Get your excrement consolidated. Talk to some of your writers and let them become more familiar with the King's English, because denotatively or connotatively, there is a cavernous disparity between illegal immigrants and immigrants, because the former are not legal, while the latter are. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing as we continue talking about this Obama. We're going to try to get Leslie Corbley back. Again, author, poet, columnist, and attorney. She's somebody who was previously a visiting fellow with the American Institute for Economic Research, also a policy analyst at the Libertas Institute. We've been having some challenges with her phone connectivity. Ah, there she's back. Leslie Corbley, great to have you back. Appreciate you sticking around. Thanks so much.
No problem. Sorry. I'm not sure what's going on with my phone today.
No, it's just modern technology sometimes coming across as if it were antiquated. You know, I'm waiting for Alexander Graham Bell to say, "Hey, not my fault." Okay, Leslie, I want to get back to this this judge who just seems to defy all logic when you think about it. This judge again is one U.S. District Judge Indira Talwani. Once again, an Obama appointee. She issues this temporary restraining order blocking Congress's and the executive's big, beautiful bill defunding of Planned Parenthood. And what's so odd is that she's essentially ruling that Congress cannot defund the very same Planned Parenthood, which only they can fund. How is it even conceivable that the very body that is perfectly allowed to fund a thing cannot turn around and defund that thing? How is it that a judge can determine that Congress can only go in one direction on the same topic, or am I being too hyperbolic about this?
No, I think it's a really bizarre ruling. I need to still read the full ruling, but from what I can tell, they're essentially saying, well, we think you're maybe specifically targeting Planned Parenthood with the way this worded, so you can't do that, which again is ridiculous. But I don't think
all defunding exercises of any particular organization is a specific defunding of that particular organization. I mean, as a matter of language, it just makes no sense. Additionally, ask you this, because you're an attorney, something for which, of course, we readily forgive you. No, just kidding. Additionally, I got to wonder, how can this judge disobey the Supreme Court's banning lower courts passing nationwide injunctions against the executive anyway?
Yeah, that I was going to say, it's interesting in light of that decision. I don't know. I guess maybe this is really showing you can get a judge, you know, you maybe can get one or two judges to sign off on anything. I don't think this is going to hold water long term, though. I think this is Planned Parenthood, I'm sure, freaking out, those on the left. You know, this is a really big issue for them, the abortion issue, and seeing the damage that we've done to Planned Parenthood from not receiving federal funds is, I think, in a lot of minds, very dramatic and almost apocalyptic, maybe, for some individuals.
So look, I'll tell you the truth, kiddo. They're doing what they can, but
I don't think it will work long term.
Don't get me wrong. I am personally pro-life, but politically, I am pro-choice. It's just something somewhere mm-hmm. I land on. But I don't fool myself about my position. But at the same time, I still acknowledge that we have a new precedent on this. And that is, you know, states now rule on their own. It's very, very democratic. People determine how they want to go on this. It's going to be more liberal in California than it is in Texas, yada, yada, yada. I get all that. But when it comes to government tax dollars supporting private endeavors, there is no constitutional entitlement of these organizations to have these funds. Now, I realize there's this class action workaround for essentially inflicting the same kind of national blocking. But even that's got to conform to what's known as Rule 23 criteria, which is itself, when you think about it, subordinate to the very same separation of powers regarding both Congress's power of the purse and the president's authority to sign the bills presented mm-hmm. to him relevant to that power of the purse. Where am I mistaken?
Well, you're not. And in the context of the defunding of Planned Parenthood, the class actions wouldn't even apply that I'm aware of. I mean, Congress is not required to fund specific agencies or specific nonprofits or parties, right? I mean, you're not required to fund even particular medical procedures. Now, my understanding is they're trying to go through maybe Medicaid, right? Oh, most of our people come through Medicaid, so maybe there's some kind of an argument there. But even that falls flat. And the Supreme Court just ruled that I believe states can cannot fund Planned Parenthood through their Medicaid plans as well. So I really don't know where the argument lands long term on these issues, but I don't think that the argument the court made is persuasive or that it will have much long term backing.
I agree. I mean, I'm wondering how quickly do we see this judge's orders getting spanked? I don't imagine it'll be very, very long. I mean, good God. Hopefully she likes a good spanky spanky. Leslie, thanks again. I'm out of time, kiddo.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs, eggs for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit EasyHomeMeals.com. That's EasyHomeMeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and Adkins.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. Covering so many things, a federal judge rules that the legislative and executive branches cannot defund the very same Planned Parenthood, which only they can fund. I mean, is she high or extremely high? Oh, yeah, we acknowledge that you have the constitutional authority to fund an organization, but we don't believe you then subsequently have the right to defund that same organization. So you're only allowed to go in one direction. I mean, clearly this is an obvious example of a component of the judiciary usurping the separated powers of the executive, something for which they were just spanked by the Supreme Court saying no more nationwide injunctions. And the little workaround of these class action suits have no connectivity whatsoever to what would normally allow for said workaround. There's just nothing in law that permits it. You have to have some compliance with what's known as Rule 23, and this particular activity is not cutting it when it comes to compliance with that rule that allows a class action to be issued by or proclaimed by a Supreme, by any court, whether it's district or appellate. Other topics, the One Big Beautiful Bill does cut taxes permanently. This is as opposed to subjecting them to a sunset provision, as has been the case with all of their predecessors. But the big question is, how much does this perhaps help the economy? Is it going to be more stabilizing? Also, as we were discussing earlier, you've got this Jew-hating socialist New York City Democrat mayoral candidate, one Zohran Mamdani, who's just been exposed for falsely claiming to be both black and Asian when applying to Columbia universities. And he defends it as something that was okay. So this isn't just a youthful act of indiscretion. This is something that this current day Mamdani validates and justifies. So can voters trust this crap stain to be tolerant and truthful when he embodies the antithesis of both? Also, Democrats and legacy media fabricated that Trump's news National Weather Service staff cuts somehow impaired rescue efforts at the Kerrville, Texas flooding. This is despite the fact that even the Associated Press reported that they had additional personnel while anticipating the disaster. So how stingingly should their collective backside be spanked? Also, do Democrat calls for violence against ICE perhaps, just perhaps, undercut their moral authority to oppose violence potentially called against them? And will cooler heads ever prevail when you think about it? Assisting in the opining and analyzing, old friend of the show, Dr. Bonner Cohn, senior policy analyst for the Committee for a Conservative Tomorrow. His articles have appeared in outlets such as Forbes, as well as the Wall Street Journal. He's also been interviewed on a myriad of television stations and networks such as Fox News, CNN, BBC. Of course, his most illustrious showing has been right here on the Alan Nathan Show. Dr. Cohn, good to have you back. How are you today?
Alan, is also very good to be back.
Good to have you. We're great, mellifluous, dulcet tones of Dr. Cohn. Great to have you. This is a real head-scratcher when I look at what's going on relevant to these false assertions by the left saying that, oh, you know, the Trump people, they endangered the lives of those suffering the floods in Texas, when in fact the Associated Press says, wait a minute, you can't blame staffing cuts because they had additional staff personnel in anticipation of this devastation. How are the left ever going to reconcile what they knowingly communicated to be a falsehood and the revelation to everybody about it happening?
I doubt if they ever will, simply because they are now more desperate than they have been in years, simply because the climate agenda, as expressed by taxpayer subsidies to all sorts of green energies, this is now passé. These things are being phased out. So they're going to grasp any straw that comes along that still supports their argument that man-made emissions of greenhouse gases are warming the planet and causing all sorts of climate disasters, such as the flash floods that befell Central Texas last week. That area is known as Flash Flood Alley, and it has been known and very well documented that flash floods afflict that area on a fairly regular basis.
Which is why the people at the National Weather Service knew to have additional people ready, and there were no DOGE cuts reducing staff on hand
None
that were required.
Whatever.
And here's the thing. The Democrats would say, well, we know that the area is known to be Flash Flood Alley or whatever, but that doesn't excuse there not being enough personnel. But in fact, there were enough people. The Associated Press, here's an exact excerpt of it, quote, The NWS, the National Weather Service, the NWS office responsible for that region had five staffers on duty as thunderstorms formed over Texas Thursday evening, the usual number for an overnight shift when severe weather is expected. Normally, they don't have five. They have two, maybe three. But when severe weather is expected, that's when they're going to have about five. So when they say the usual number, they mean, oh, the usual number for when you're expecting unexpected weather or when you're expecting even more severe weather. And they're not the only ones who have come across with this reporting. So it strikes me that even though people like the folks at ABC and CNN and CBS are desperately trying to run away from what they've said by talking about other things, I don't think they're going to get away with it. Not in this age where they are no longer the only gatekeepers of news. Or am I being overly sanguine about this?
No, I don't think you are at all. The National Weather Service performed not only as well as could be expected, it performed beyond what could be expected simply because they had extra people there. The warnings were there. Looking back on this thing, one thing could and should have been done, and it could and should have been done by local officials. What happens if one of these things occurs in the middle of the night, which is exactly what happened a few days ago in Kern County, Texas? Several local officials over the years have said, you know what we need? We need sirens to blast, to warn people, because it is well known among local residents there are campsites there where children are, which is exactly what last week. Just think of the number of lives that might have been saved had sirens blasted and alerted people to get to higher ground as quickly as possible. I certainly hope that those sirens will be put in now as one of the precautionary measures that can be taken to keep such a tragedy from happening in the future.
But this is something that was ideally supposed to be done in earlier administrations, yes?
Yes, exactly. And not only administrations, but by local officials. This is a local thing. This is what county officials should have done and sadly did not. As I said, I certainly hope they do now. But attributing this whole thing, first of all, to poor staffing on the part of the Trump administration, absolutely ridiculous. And secondly, climate change, not climate change at all. Torrential rainfalls of this magnitude are not uncommon in that area. In other words, the climate was doing what you would expect the climate to do.
Well, you know, it contrary to what we've been told would be happening because of climate change, or at least as told to us by climate change alarmists, we're learning that, you know, winters on balance are getting cooler and longer in states like Virginia and West Virginia and Maryland and Delaware and New York. And also, contrary to climate change alarmists, we understand that while Mount Kilimanjaro snow cap is shrinking, guess what? It's not due to climate change, but rather it's caused by the deforestation of the foothills that robs the snow of its one-time moistened winds. And also, contrary to climate change alarmists, the Himalayan glaciers are not shrinking, but are reported to actually be growing. And also, contrary to climate change alarmists, we see that Greenland is not in rapid meltdown, but is actually blessed with a thickening ice sheet. I mean, don't these results undercut at least some of the climate change alarmist argument? Because these weather developments definitively run opposite to their forecasts. Or am I seeing too much into this, Doctor?
And let's not forget that the ice sheet in Antarctica is expanding, not shrinking. If you put all of these things together, they refute the climate change narrative. Now, those who are so vested in this, and that also means that they have been taking money from foundations and purveyors of green energy who hope to make a mint off the climate change scare, I don't think these people will ever change their minds. But if you look at public opinion polls in the U.S., the average Joe and Jane on the street aren't buying this anymore.
Well, no, because they consistently see that there have been too many markers of Armageddon that were predicted some years back by Democrats that have not reached fruition.
There are only so many times you can cry wolf.
Right, before the townspeople say, screw it, I'm staying home. Anyway, Dr. Bonner-Cohn, always a pleasure. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
Planning a summer road trip? You're not alone. Over 75% of Americans are hitting the road this season. But before you pack the snacks and playlists, make sure your car and your car insurance are road trip ready. Start with a full vehicle checkup. Brakes, oil, tires, wipers. Pack an emergency kit. Learn how to change a tire and bring a backup map because GPS is not always reliable out there. Understanding your coverage is important as well. Although many people think they understand their insurance, a recent survey found 96% of drivers misunderstood at least one part of their policy. And that's where The General can help. With our app, you can review your policy, file a claim fast, or get a quote in 2 minutes or less. At The General, our mission is to give people a break when they need it most. And that's why we've made managing your car insurance easier, faster, and smoother, so you can stay focused on the road ahead. Planning a trip? Visit thegeneral.com so you can hit the road with confidence.
With the cost of living rising dramatically, budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. T-Mobile has launched two new experience plans, adding industry-leading value and savings, plus a 5-year price guarantee, so customers can rest assured that the price of their talk, text, and data stays the same. The Experience Beyond plan includes over $200 in added value for every line every month, with satellite connectivity, yearly device upgrades, and an entertainment streaming bundle that includes Apple TV+, Hulu, Netflix, and more. For more information, visit t-mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
National Iced Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high-quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Literally two assassination attempts against Donald Trump last year did not get the Democrats to tone down their rhetoric. I truly don't know what will. And you really hit on something very important. They are using this to fundraise, which is a whole other level of sick. I want to get your thoughts on this. The article goes on to say that these voters that are calling for all this violence and blood, they tend to be white, well-educated, and live in upscale neighborhoods.
I think the broader picture of the electoral map and what the results have shown over the last couple of years, that's the bigger story here. President Trump and House Republicans over the last three elections have successively become more competitive and more basically winning more elections along the southern border and winning more successfully with Hispanic voters. That to me shows that where Republicans are in terms of border security and actually concern for American citizens, Hispanic voters are there. And the fact that if white urban liberals are not concerned about the well-being of American citizens or the well-being of ICE agents, that should be a big concern for voters across America.
Yeah, especially those the Democrats are trying to convince, because this is a hill on which they continuously show themselves, upon which they continuously show themselves willing to die. And apparently it's not phasing them that their numbers, that the number of, if you will, political fatalities shall continue rising. They're not gaining any traction on this. They just really need to vent their frustration. And it's just astonishing how unable they are to acknowledge all that's going wrong for them politically. Put aside the morality of it all, which is self-evident and how outrageous their behavior is. Just from a politically existential perspective, you got to wonder, what the F, dudes? Are you really this stupid? Now, you're listening to an exchange on Fox News' Fox and Friends First with Todd Pirro. He says that the two assassination attempts on Trump didn't seem to get Democrats to tone down the rhetoric, so nothing will, and they're fundraising from it. He then references an Axios article where nine anonymous Democrat congressmen talk about how scared they are of their own base, demanding the congressmen engage in violence as well, noting that the ones making these calls for violence tend to be white and well off. His guest, one Mark Bednar, we've had him on, a former chief of communications director for former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. He says that this is because the electoral map has changed and that Republicans are winning border areas with Hispanic voters. And this is the far left wing's white way of trying to counterbalance it. But it seems to be a rather myopic one. And he points out that these white urban liberals don't seem to care about the safety of American citizens or border agents. Well, duh on that one. But it really screams a very straightforward question, does it not? Think about it. Do Democrats' calls for violence against ICE undercut their moral authority to oppose violence potentially called against them? And will cooler heads ever prevail? Just got to let people know about this, folks. There's over 400 million guns in this country. And trust me, people, the vast majority of them are not owned by the gun-controlling left. All right? So to borrow from our Italian friends, you bet your sweet the battucci, okay? This is not the way to go. But they're going that way anyway. Anyway, I want to shift gears a little bit, talk a little bit more about this Obama judge apparently having no compunction whatsoever when it comes to usurping the separated powers of the executive vis-a-vis telling Congress that, gee, you may have the right to fund Planned Parenthood, but you don't concurrently have the right to defund that very same organization. What is it with a judge thinking that congressional powers or power of the purse only go one way? We have on board, old friend of the show, Reverend James Harden, CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services, and he's also a congressional candidate for New York's 21st District. Reverend, good to have you on the show again. Boy, a real head-scratcher with this district judge saying that You know, while Congress can apparently fund Planned Parenthood, they're not permitted to defund Planned Parenthood. I mean, is this lady high or very high, Reverend?
She's definitely holier than thou. She thinks that. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, this is a usurpation. This is a rejection of the separation of powers. This is a putting of the judiciary up and over the function of the legislature and the executive branch. This is a law that was duly enacted. It did not single out Planned Parenthood, by the way. It simply enacted a statute based on the will of the people. Most people in America do not want their tax dollars going to abortion. Some people might say, well, you know, if you want to get your own abortion, pay for it yourself. But why spend $800 million, nearly $1 billion, with the world's biggest abortion provider based in America, Planned Parenthood, when in fact they've got a long history of fraud and racism, by the way, and not just fraud, generally speaking, it's fraud, Medicaid fraud.
We should point out that its founder, Margaret Sanger, came up with this scheme as a way to slaughter blacks.
This was
her purpose, and it took forever before Planned Parenthood stopped giving away awards in her name and finally acknowledged that she was a racist piece of crap and that it was not a good idea to continue holding her up, because doing so only more saliently exposed that which was a deserved albatross around their collective neck. But let me get back to this judge. Since U.S. District Judge Indira Talwani is directly violating the Supreme Court on this question, because the court said you lower judges are not permitted to pass nationwide injunction because it is indeed going beyond your jurisdiction and you're usurping a power not yours. But given that this judge has directly violated the Supreme Court on this question, doesn't the administration have the right to issue a response stating its intent to follow the Supreme Court versus the district court on the matter? I mean, Trump would not be violating the law by obeying the law as interpreted by the lower court's superior, right? Would he? I mean, unless language is no longer tethered to the meanings of the words that comprise it, if the president decided to obey the law as interpreted by the Supreme Court versus how it's being interpreted by the lower court on an issue where there's an on-point disobedience, then indeed Trump would have the right to say, screw you, I'm obeying the Supreme Court, not you. What could be done against the administration if it were to do that? I ask you, Reverend.
I don't think anything. I think the administration's got the support of the law. She's got the support of the Supreme Court already. As you mentioned, the Supreme Court already ruled on this with a case in South Carolina saying that states have a right to not fund Planned Parenthood through Medicaid and Medicare. So he also has the ability to, you know, look, they can appropriate funds, but the executive does not have to, spend those funds if that particular organization is not meeting the criteria that's set forth in the federal government law.
And it's not just the executive deciding. This Congress passed through budget law the defunding of the same organization. The president just signed it as per his own constitutional participation. Anyway, Reverend, always great having you on board. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.